I am so excited to welcome to this call today Kirsten McKay Smith. And I have known her for about 10 years. And what was so fascinating to me is when I reached out to her about doing this interview, I found out all kinds of things about her that I didn't already know. So Kirsten is passionate about health, fitness, nutrition, and wellness. And this I knew about her, which is why I invited her to do the interview. She was an athlete as a child and became a vegetarian at age 8. She has always had an interest in sports and food. She earned her degree in exercise science and went on to become a full-time fitness instructor and personal trainer. During that time, she obtained several nutrition certifications and eventually went on to coaching triathletes, runners, swimmers on training, racing, and nutrition. Although Kirsten has run 62 marathons in 31 states, and she's going for all 50, and she's completed 12 Ironman triathlons, including the World Championship in Kona, she does love helping people of all levels, and non-athletes included. She wants to help them get healthier and complete goals they've never thought possible. In fact, she helped her mom complete her first triathlon for her 50th birthday. That's a really awesome accomplishment. Kirsten is a plant-based athlete and helps other athletes and non-athletes live a healthier life through eating more plants, moving around more, and living life to its fullest. Kirsten, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you, Sheriff, for having me.
Well, so when I read something like that, it makes me think, like, gosh, fitness just must be easy for you. Is it easy for you?
I would say yes and no. Yes, that it's easy because I do it all the time. Just like if a teacher is, you know, been a teacher for 20 years, teaching is easy for them. But is teaching easy? Not necessarily. So I think it's just easy for me because I do it all the time. But I still, you know, I still every day would rather be laying in bed or sitting on my computer. And I oftentimes have to force myself to get going, but once I get going, it is easy because I do enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. What do you enjoy about it?
I like the way it makes me feel physically and mentally. It clears my mind. I like that it gives me a purpose for something to do for the day. Like, it gives me an activity that I enjoy, that I can do, that I can get better at. It makes me feel healthy. It connects me to other people who, whether they love fitness or not, they want to get healthy. So I just think it brings me in contact with a lot of people who are like-minded, and then it just makes me feel good about myself. And it gives me more confidence, which I think confidence is really important to have in life in mm-hmm. general.
Yeah, I've experienced those benefits all myself. I like to say, this was a Harvard professor, and I don't remember his name off the top of my head, but he called exercise a magic pill because it has so many benefits, not just to our physical health, but our emotional health as well.
Yeah, I for sure am. If I don't exercise each day, because I exercise every day, and people are like, well, don't you think you need a day off? And I don't think I do. I don't exercise hard every day. I might just do something nice and easy. But if I don't exercise, I am not me. I'm not who I want to be.
mm-hmm. So what does that look like for you? Like, do you exercise first thing in the morning?
Absolutely not. No. I'm not a morning person at all. I'm actually going to go to the gym when we finish this interview. I do best like late morning, early afternoon is when I exercise, is when I like to exercise best. There are some times if I have a busy day, you know, or something during the day that I can't get away from, that I'll go in the morning. I rarely exercise at night. I just don't have it in me to do it at night either.
Mm-hmm. So now do you know each day then, like, is it just like a mental, like, oh, I got to check this off my to-do list sometime today? Or do you always know, like, Monday, I'm going at 2 o'clock today?
Yeah, I schedule about 2 weeks out, pretty specifically my schedule, and the first thing I actually put on my schedule is my workout.
Okay.
So it's my exercise and my workouts first, and then and I have a couple jobs that I do. I'm a coach, and I teach some fitness classes. So those are, you know, those are on my schedule. But as far as things that I don't have to do, exercise I schedule first, and then I actually, after exercise is when I schedule my work, my building my business and my coaching business and stuff like that. So I actually schedule my exercise before I even schedule my work or my business. Mm.
Interesting. So I want to kind of at some point give some practical tips for our listeners on how to exercise, like what kind of exercises they can do to get started. But I want to come back to something that I didn't know about you. And when we were kind of just talking about doing this interview that you shared with me, I'd like to just, if you wouldn't mind, kind of share with the listeners about your eating disorder, because I didn't know that you struggled with this.
Yeah, I think if anyone is listening and they have an eating disorder, they are going to completely understand this. It's not something that we really talk about a lot. You know, I think it's one of those hush-hush things. Like, people don't talk about bankruptcy or being in debt a lot, or people don't talk about getting divorced. Or, you know, I think we're just brought up thinking that having an eating disorder is a really negative thing that we should be kind of embarrassed about. It's a mental illness or a sickness. So I never really talked to anybody about it, and I actually didn't even start seeking treatment until my early 30s.
Wow.
I had had my eating disorder since I was 12, and I didn't think it was a problem. And in college, they kind of talked about, you know, we got some, you know, it was a little more awareness, eating disorder awareness, but I still didn't think it was that big of a deal because it didn't affect me negatively as far as I could tell. And so it wasn't until my early 30s that I was just, I got too tired. I was too tired to continue hating myself and hating my body and hiding this eating disorder, and it just got too much. And so I went and talked to a therapist about it and ended up going into treatment. And I stayed with that therapy program for about 6 years, on and off, pretty solidly for the first 4 years, and then on and off for the next 2 years. And I still didn't really talk about it to anybody. You know, if I met someone and they openly talked about an eating disorder, then I would mention it, because if they were telling me, then I felt like it was safe to tell them.
Mm-hmm.
But I really, you know, it wasn't something that people knew about me. And then it was about 4 years ago, I actually lost a client in my coaching business because I had talked to her and she decided to go with another coach. She didn't go with me. And later she told me, I went with this other coach because I felt like she understood me better, because I have all these eating issues and I had eating disorder. And she started saying all this stuff, which she had never discussed with me when we first talked. And I thought about it and I was like, wow, if she would have known that about me, then she might have chose me as her coach instead of somebody else, because that was the reason she was giving me that she didn't choose me. And it just got me thinking, you know, I'm still not like, hey, everybody, I have an eating disorder, but I'm definitely more open about it. Like now, I like talking about it. And I think it's important that we talk about it, because the more we talk about it, the more people will feel okay about talking about it. And, you know, maybe we can get people the help they need sooner than their early 30s.
Right.
Part of what was really hard in my recovery, I swear, I felt like there was a handful of older, you know, women in the group, but it was a lot of college girls. You know, it was 18 and over. It was an adult group. But it was college girls, or like girls in their early 20s. And I just felt like, God, I'm so old and I still have this problem? What is wrong with me?
Mm.
So I think, you know, and for the people listening, I'm 44 years old, and, you know, I still struggle with it. Not as bad. I rarely even think of doing anything negative about it, but I still struggle with it. I still every day want to look a different way. And I do, I feel old. I feel like, man, am I just too old for this? But I think it's because older people don't talk about it.
Yeah. Well, we're supposed to have it all together, right? By now.
Right. We do, don't we?
Yeah. Yeah. I feel the same way. I'm 40 myself, so I get that. What was surprising to me is that you are such a healthy person, and that, you know, to have an eating disorder was affecting you negatively, your health wise. So, what was the relationship between exercising and your eating disorder? Was there one?
I would exercise. So if I would eat too much, I would exercise more. So that's my old thinking. That was my old thought pattern. And that was a really belief. And I actually saw this like a quote thing on social media the other day. And it said, exercise is a reward, not a punishment.
Mm.
And I thought about that, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so glad I believe that now, because I didn't used to believe that. So I didn't love exercising. And I think that's why I got so worn out, because, you know, I would eat something, and if it was 300 calories, I would exercise 300 calories. Whether I wanted to exercise or not, it wasn't, oh, I love doing this exercise, I better, you know, it wasn't like, oh, this sounds fun. It was, okay, I have an hour and I have to burn 300 calories. What can I do to do that? Or I have 20 minutes and I have to burn 300 calories. I'm going to have to work really, really hard.
Mm.
So it was more like, it was a lot more negative, where now I'm not going to lie and say I don't think about it or keep track. I use my FitnessPal app, and I put in the night before everything I'm planning on eating that day, and I put in my exercise plan, and it usually works out. And if it doesn't, I make some adjustments. But if there's no adjustments to be made, like on Fridays are my really easy workout day, and I tend to eat a lot on Fridays, and so every Friday I have too many calories, and I notice it and I'm aware of it, but I let it go.
Mm.
So I'm not going to do an extra 2 hours of exercise on Friday to get rid of those calories, because Friday is my recovery day from my workouts for the rest of the week.
Okay. So if somebody is kind of hearing a little bit of themselves in this and they think that they might have an eating disorder, what would you advise them to do?
I really think, well, first of all, I think that there's such a wide spectrum of eating disorders, and that any time that your thoughts are consumed with either eating or exercise to get rid of your food, or hating your body and changing the way you eat or exercise to try to change that, if it's all consuming, it's an issue. So when I was growing up, you know, they talk about anorexia and bulimia. And if you weren't starving yourself, then you don't have an eating disorder. If you're not throwing up after every meal, you don't have an eating disorder. And I think that scares little girls and bigger girls, older girls, away from getting help, because they're like, oh, I don't want someone to think I don't want them to think I don't really have an eating disorder, because it's not that extreme.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there are so many levels, and they're all dangerous because they're all exhausting, and they all start with us not liking ourselves,
right,
us hating ourselves. And so we need to get help. And I think, you know, even talking to, I would have never, ever started, I would have never talked to my mom, and not that my mom wouldn't have understood. But I I don't know. I didn't want to talk to somebody I knew. I wanted to talk to somebody I didn't know. So, you know, find a therapist that specializes in eating disorders. I'm sure they are in every town because it's a really big issue. And talk to them, and then you can make a plan and go to the next step with them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that's good advice. Thank you for sharing that and being open about your story, because this, like you said, the consuming thoughts and the hating ourselves is not healthy. And we can't live our best lives if that's where our thought process is. So it really begins with loving ourselves, taking care of our bodies, not controlling them in order to fit some sort of external ideal or what we think is right, but to truly love ourselves as we are. And knowing that we all have room for improvement, too. But
well, yeah, and that's the thing. So the first time I went to this one therapist that I really wanted to see, because she was actually a sports psychologist also, and I was an athlete. So I wanted to really see her, and she told me that that I had to accept myself before I could make any changes. And I was like, absolutely not. Mm. And she said this to me, she said, self-acceptance is not defeat. And at the time I felt like it was. Oh. And she said to me that she wouldn't treat me until I was ready. And if I didn't believe that, then I wasn't ready. And so she sent me away.
Wow, really? Do you agree with that decision?
Yes, I think she probably knew that I was ready enough to come back.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, I think I was just in the habit of not accepting myself, but I really wanted to.
Right.
And so, you know, maybe she had enough knowledge of me at that point that she felt confident that if she did that, I would come back and say I'm ready.
Mm. So you needed kind of a little tough love there. Little pushback.
Yeah, I was, like I said, I was already in my early 30s. I wasn't a little kid. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's different. You're not going to send a 12-year-old away.
Right. That's true. That's true.
Right. So I think it's the other thing that I think with regards to, you know, talking about all consuming and being exhausted and worn out is that in accepting ourselves, I still want to be a little thinner, but the difference is I'm not going to do it. I love myself enough to not do any harm to myself to get there.
Oh, right. I see.
I'll learn and figure things out. Like this year last year I lost a little bit of weight and I kept it off, but I did it through, I decided to go off the pill. I was on the pill for like ever. And I decided to go off the pill because I wanted to see if my hormones would balance out. So I'm looking at healthier ways. Like I eat more vegetables and I eat more fruit and things like that, instead of, okay, I'm going to, you know, I'm going to drink 6-pack of diet soda for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Mm. Like that's not going to be healthy. So I don't think because I used to think, thinking I still want to be thinner means I still have an eating disorder. Mm. But I don't believe that anymore. I believe it's okay to want to be thinner as long as I'm not taking the action of harming myself.
Right. I think there's a couple of really important observations in there. One, it's this idea that I've been just thinking a lot about lately is like holding tension. Like we're going to have this tension between wanting to love ourselves and wanting to be better, right? And we need both. We need both. We need to be able to hold that tension creatively and strive to be better and yet also accept where we are right now. And the other thing that I was thinking about as you were talking is that each person really has to be the expert on their own health, right? So make a change and observe, how are you responding to this change? Is this a good change for you? Does it not make a difference? But, you know, there's so many conflicting stories out there and studies, and this is the right kind of exercise, and no, you should eat like this, that my personal belief is that everybody's different, and you have to kind of figure out what works for you.
Yeah. Yeah, I have a lot of clients that I train, and they say, "Oh, I hate running, but I make myself do it because it burns so many calories." And I'm like, "Stop running."
I'm one of those. Like, I hate
there
running.
There are so many ways that you can move your body and exercise and get fit and get in shape and feel good and feel good in your skin. There's hundreds and thousands of things. Why would you pick the one you hate?
Right. Yeah, I hear ya. So let's talk about, let's kind of try and give people some really practical tools here. And let's start with exercise, because I actually know you have a nutrition background as well. But let's start with exercise. So if somebody is starting from, let's say they're not unhealthy, but they don't have a regular exercise habit, what would you suggest? What's a good place to start?
Everybody, like you said, everybody is so different, and it depends on what their goals are and how much time they have and what they enjoy doing. But just for the basics, let's say, just say for an average person, I would have them look at how much time, realistically, almost every day, they can spend doing something. And to start with there, because I don't care how much you want to work out, if you don't have time to put it into your schedule. I know people who are, like my sister, for example, she's a full-time teacher, which we all know is more than a full-time job. She has three kids. They're all in sports. She's married. She's in book club. She's active in the church. She's active in, she's like the team mom for the football team. You know, she's all that. Plus, she likes to, like at night, she likes to just relax on the couch and unwind from the day and watch a show. So I would never tell her, okay, you're going to have to work out 30 minutes a day, 5 days a week. Because there's no way, I know I've lived with her several times, there's no way that would fit into her schedule. So I think each person needs to look at their schedule and say, realistically, and if there's things, if you want to make exercise a priority, then you can take some things out or combine some things. Like when she drops her daughter off at soccer practice, she jogs around the soccer field.
Oh, that's a great idea.
So you could do something like that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So, but you have to be realistic, because it doesn't matter what you want. If it doesn't fit into your life, you are not going to do it long term. And exercise and nutrition are both things that need to be lifestyle changes, because every single one of us, me, you, and every single person that's ever going to listen to this, has at one time or another started something, either exercise or nutrition, that they couldn't complete, like a fad diet or something crazy that was too hard or too restrictive or too strenuous or too something, too time consuming. And to me, there's no point in starting that if you can't maintain it. So if you are super busy, if you hate exercise, but you want to start incorporating it, and you can take 5 minutes a day, most days, so 5 or 6 days a week, and walk outside, or if you live in Colorado where I am and it's freezing today, walk up and down your stairs, or go to the, you know, if you live near a gym and a gym is convenient, you know, go to the gym, walk on the treadmill for 5 minutes, put on your headphones, turn on your radio full blast, turn on your music full blast, and dance around for 5 minutes. Do something where you're moving your body for 5 minutes, but do it every day. I think that's a great place to start. And if 5 minutes starts feeling easy, and you have 5 minutes every day, and you want to increase to 10 minutes, then increase to 10 minutes a day. But starting at something that's super realistic for you and easy for you is the only way you're going to make it last.
Yeah, and I like that advice, and I think it's important that people know, like, something is better than nothing. Like, literally, something, anything is better than
Yes.
nothing. 5 minutes.
Yes.
So, yeah, I like that. And I'm also a big fan of body weight exercises at home
Yes.
because I cannot get my
Yes.
butt to a gym. It just does
Yes.
not work out for me.
Yeah, people all the time are like, I don't have enough money to lose weight. And I'm like, oh, you don't need money. You need to move. And yes, body weight, if you did, you know, if you started with five push-ups, five dips, five sit-ups, five squats, that's going to literally take you 3 minutes a day. Just start there. When that feels easy, then double it. Go to 10 of each. But yeah, I love exercises like that too.
So first thing you'd suggest is find a set period of time for five that you can realistically do every day, even if that's just 5 minutes.
Correct.
What else would you say?
I would also say to, well, if your goal is to lose weight, which a lot of people did, because we have a pretty overweight society in general. I don't know if many people know this, but weight loss is about 90% food and 10% exercise. And a lot of us have done that before, where we work out all the time, but we're still eating too much or eating the wrong food, so we never lose weight. And so for people just starting off, I would start with little habits, little nutrition habits. So like with my clients, I do a weekly nutrition challenge. So it's just 7 days. It's something really simple. You just focus on that thing. And every 8 weeks, so we have eight different challenges. So every 8 weeks, we repeat them. So for
So you're
example,
doing a
this
new
week is a
challenge every
water
week?
challenge. Yes, and then we
Okay.
repeat them for 8 weeks.
Gotcha.
So we do a new challenge each week, and then we repeat them. And the reason we keep repeating them each 8 weeks is you can see the progress. So right now we're doing a water challenge. It's your drink, your goal water intake is half your body weight in ounces of water. So if you weigh 150 pounds, your goal is to drink 75 ounces of water a day.
Which is like
So
how
our
much? I
goal is
don't even
water
know what
drinking.
that means. Like,
So 75, a gallon is 120, around 120 ounces. So it's about a quart is 64 ounces. So it's
okay.
about,
A
I
half
mean,
a
sorry,
gallon of
two
milk.
quarts is 64 ounces. Yes, a half a gallon is 64 ounces. So it's a little more than a half a gallon for an average woman.
Okay, so that's a lot of water, but that seems doable.
Yeah, it's definitely doable. It's like if you have like a big water bottle is usually between like 20 and 28 ounces.
Okay.
So if you fill that four times, you're good.
Okay. So you do a little
So
water
yeah, so
challenge or
something
other.
little.
Okay.
Yeah, so another challenge we have is eat breakfast. So just within, 30 minutes of waking up, eat something, even if it's a piece of fruit. Another one of our challenges is eat five servings of vegetables a day, which is really, really hard for most people. Another
Now,
one of our challenges is to, oh, go ahead.
well, I've seen you have a lot of recipes and things that you share, right?
Yes.
So you can help people kind of incorporate these vegetables into their cooking.
Yeah, and the other thing is, like, I always tell people start with where you're at. So for example, when we do a no sugar challenge. No sugar for 7 days for the majority of people is pretty outlandish. Like, that's just not going to happen. So I tell people start from where you're at. How many days do you normally eat sugar? If somebody eats sugar 5 days a week, then their goal might be to go 3 days without sugar this week. So that then the next round, 8 weeks later, try to go 4 days without sugar. And the next round, 8 weeks later, try to go 5 days without sugar. Just these little, like you said, something's always better than nothing. Little incremental baby steps lead to huge results. Mm-hmm. And everything I've ever done in my life that's big has all been little things compounded over time. I've never, ever had anything just like amazingly big, huge happen to me.
Yeah, it's all about the little things done consistently. Absolutely. So is that how you, I can't even imagine, honestly, completing an Ironman. That's like so, that seems so hard. How did you do that?
The same exact way that I did, exactly what I just said, just little tiny things add up over time. Like I started off, I did a sprint triathlon in 1998. It was a 500-yard swim in the swimming pool, which is 20 lengths. So a lot of people could do that. That's not unheard of, you know, 500 yards in the pool. It was a 10-mile bike ride, and I just rode. All I had at the time was a mountain bike, so I just rode my mountain bike 10 miles. That's not unheard of. You know, anyone can do that. And then it was a 2-mile run. And I wasn't a runner at the time. And I was going to walk it, but then I had a friend that did it with me and I wanted to beat her. So I decided to run it. But it was 2 miles. So I think it's just doing those little things and then just adding on. Like if I'm training you to run a 5K, a 5K is 3.1 miles. If you've never run before and I said, Sharon, you're going to run 3.1 miles. You're like, no, I'm not. That's really long, like 3.1 miles. That seems really hard. But if I have you start off, you know, the first day you're going to walk 20 minutes and then take a rest day. And then the next day you're going to, in that 20 minutes, you're going to jog for 30 seconds. And then every time you do your 20-minute walk, you're going to add 30 seconds of your jog.
Hmm.
And so after a month of doing that 3 to 4 days a week, you're going to be able to run a mile. In a month, you can already run a mile.
Wow.
So just add it up over time.
So literally somebody could go from sitting on the couch to running a 5K in 3 months?
Oh, yes, easily.
Just by steadily consistently increasing the amount you run while you're walking.
Yeah. Yep. So if let's say you have 30 minutes a day, 3 days a week to walk.
Okay.
Do that walk 30 minutes a day, 3 days a week, and each time you do it, jog for 30 seconds.
Like in the middle at the end, or does it matter? Like
anywhere.
Anywhere.
Nope, anywhere.
Just, so you're like, yep, all right, anywhere. I'm 10 minutes into my walk. I'm going to run for a minute now.
30 seconds.
30 seconds. Yeah. And then the next time, you run for a minute.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. And you know, pretty soon, in 2 months, you'll be running the whole 20 minutes. You'll be like, wow, that was weird. I didn't think I could do that 2 months ago.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny for me. I find, so I hate running. My husband loves running, so I will run with him because we like to work out together. So I run because he likes to run, and it is such a mental battle for me. It's not really so much physical, but mentally the whole time. I'm like, I hate this. And this is what I wrote about in my book a little bit, is that, you know, there's a mental game of physical fitness too. So what are your tips for getting your mental game up?
It's funny that you just said that, because I just wrote a blog post this morning about running and how it's all mental. And I just wrote it this morning. So because the other day I needed to run an hour for my training plan, because I'm training for an Ironman that's in 4 or 5 months. And so on my training plan, I had an hour run, and I did not feel like running at all. And so, it depends. Like sometimes if I'm at the gym and I really don't want to run and I'm 5 months out from my race, I won't run. I'll do the elliptical, or I'll do the step mill, or I'll walk on the treadmill, or I'll do something different, because I'm going to have to, the last couple months before my Ironman, I have to run. And so if I don't feel like running at this point, then I don't. But I was like, okay, I want to get in a run in. So what I do is I tell myself to just start and see what happens. So let's say you're going to try to go for a 30-minute run. Say, you know what, just go outside, walk for 3 minutes, and see how you feel.
Mm-hmm.
Because usually the hardest part is to just get up from what you're doing and get ready and go. So I'll tell myself, okay, go outside, you know, walk for 3 minutes and see how you feel. Or the other day when I was on the treadmill, I said, just jog really easy for 10 minutes. And then each minute after, just add, you know, go a tiny bit faster, a tiny bit faster. And then do a minute hard and then walk for as long as you feel like walking until you feel like jogging again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I play those games with myself all the time. But I think the best thing to do is for anyone is to just do something, because typically exercise gives us an endorphin rush and we forget that. And so we don't want to go do it. But once you start doing it, it feels good. And most of the time you want to keep going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sometimes it's just the inertia. And if you can just get over that, then it's like, I don't know what I was making such a big deal about.
Right. And what you said about, like, when you're going like, oh, I don't want to do this. You know what? I mean, what would you tell someone who you were working with and they had a negative thought about something? Change your thinking.
Yeah.
Because you have control over your thoughts. And it, honestly, if you're always thinking, I don't want to do this, I hate running, I'm only going so I can spend some time with my husband, this sucks, I'm not a runner, blah, 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 you're going to always be miserable every time you run.
What I've started doing is kind of likening it to having a best-selling book. Like, all right, so you just got to put one foot in front of the other. Can you put one foot in front of the other? Yes, you can. That's all you have to do, Sharon. You don't worry about how far you have to go. So, like, I'm having this conversation in my head the whole way, because if I just focus on, if I focus on how long it is or how hard it is, but if I just focus on right now, like, I just have to do this, that I know that I can do. So I found that that mental talk helps me.
Well, and actually, that's funny. That's what we learn. That's what they teach in recovery from anything, is just do the next right thing. Just do the next thing that's going to move you toward where you're trying to go.
Mm-hmm.
Don't look ahead. Don't look at, you know, don't look at, oh my God, I'm never going to be able to eat this again. Just think, okay, for today, this is what I'm going to do.
Mm-hmm.
For this moment, this is what I'm going to do.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that is really helpful for people who, like you, who you're running, you have a reason that you're running. Even though you don't like it, there's a reason.
Right.
So I think when people know why they're doing something, it's easier to do it and to remind yourself why you're doing it. And if you don't have a good reason why, then you probably should do something different. But if I don't want to run, I think if I don't want to, because I love racing. Like, racing is my favorite thing ever. It's the best thing for me. But if I don't train, then my races aren't as fun because I don't do as well and they're harder. So if I want to race well and I want to feel good when I race, I have to train.
Mm-hmm.
So when I go out and do a training run, if I'm like, oh, I don't want to do this, yeah, you do, because you want to be a faster runner, so when you race, you do well.
Yes, that's excellent. Mm-hmm. I think that would make a difference.
Or people who want to lose, people who want to lose weight. Oh, I hate working out. Well, why are you working out then? Because I want to lose weight. Why do you want to lose weight? Because I want to feel better about myself. Why do you want to feel better about yourself? Because I want to have more confidence. I want to be able to keep up with my kids. I want to be able to live longer. You know, all these reasons. You have to find an important reason for you to want to do something in order to do it.
And my belief is that being skinny is really not a big enough reason for people to do it. Like, we want it, but it's not the most important thing to us. And so just really to go deeper about how it lets you, like you said, be a better parent or whatever, but really go deep and understand why it's important. Like, deep down, not because you're going to look better in a bathing suit. That's not important enough to people.
Well, then what you can ask people, too, or ask yourself, because you can say, I want to look better in my bathing suit, but then you ask yourself, why? Why do I want to look better in a bathing suit?
Mm-hmm.
Because I think a lot of superficial, quote, superficial things are actually really deep things, but that's how they present themselves.
Yes, you just have to get underneath it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, you know, why do you want to be skinny? Why, you know, I that was one thing that when I went through in therapy, they're like, you know, what are you doing this for? I want to be skinny. Why do you want to be skinny? I don't know. No, that's not an answer. Why do you want to be skinny? Because I want to love myself more. I want to feel better about my body. I want to love, you know, it all comes down to self-love. It all comes down to something a lot deeper, but you have to figure out what that is, or you're not going to do the action it takes to get there.
Right. Right. So we're,
it's like the guy won't quit eating crap until he has a heart attack.
Yeah, unless he can get to that why he shouldn't have a heart attack first and start making those changes. But, I mean, sometimes that's the wake-up call that it takes. But you don't have to wait till that point.
No, don't. Please don't. Please don't.
No, because we have a powerful imaginations. We can imagine what the future awaiting us is if we don't change. And why that, you know,
right.
Our status quo is not acceptable. But I'm
right.
So glad you joined me for this discussion, because for me, the physical health aspect is like a fundamental habit, because we can't be at our peak capacity emotionally, mentally, or it makes it harder to be at our peak capacity and to accomplish the things that we want to accomplish, to give to people as much as we want to give. Like, I really believe that our foundation matters and it's strong, and detaching that though from this idea of being skinny. So if you've been, you know, listening to our conversation today, and, you know, as we're talking about nutrition and eating disorders, I really also want people to know that your weight is not just impacted by diet and exercise. There are also genetic, biological, digestive behaviors that you don't have a lot of control over. But you can control being physically active every day. You can control eating the right foods. You can control drinking enough water, and you can control getting a good night's sleep. Those are things that you can work out on. And sometimes that means, you know, sometimes the weight is irrespective of that. For me, the weight is not as important as that you take care of what you can take care of.
Right.
So as we're wrapping up, Kirsten, would you let people know how they can get more tips and advice from you, maybe participate in your nutrition challenges?
Yeah, the best way to get a hold of me is I have a website, and it's foodfitnessfinancefun.com, because those are all the things I'm passionate about. And you can, I write a blog post a couple times a week, and it's on all those topics. And then on there is like 100 different ways to get a hold of me.
Okay. So that was foodfitnessfinancefun.com.
Yes.
Okay. Awesome. Well, go check it out. I know that I've got a lot of great information out of here. I'm going to work on my mental game. Thank you for that advice. Do you have any last minute suggestions or words of wisdom for people?
Yes, just one thing, and it's a lifelong process, but I promise the more you love yourself, the easier taking care of yourself is. So learning to love yourself is hard, but there's tons of, like, books, Sharon's book, podcasts, so many resources out there to just help you love yourself more. And once you do that, you'll want to eat healthy, and you'll want to exercise, and you'll want to be happy and take care of yourself.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that, and thank you so much for joining me today.
Yeah, thank you so much, Sharon.